Well, thank the Lord for Green Bank. You glad you're here? I've had the privilege of coming over here 41 years. Something up here. We're glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Last year I had a little bit of something distracting me a little bit, but I took care of that at the end of June. This year I just brought her with me. So Molly and I had a relationship for a long time after her husband died. Preached his funeral the fall after Rebecca Ann passed, and then things began to get serious after a while, and we decided to get married. We desire your prayers tonight. The Lord gave me this back at Guthrie. I didn't preach it at Guthrie. Time or two, it didn't work, and wanted to, and it didn't work out. This is something that is a little different for an opening night meeting, so to speak. But as I look around, it might fit better than what I first thought. So we desire your prayers. This is something that will go with us all the way from almost birth to death. It's something that Brother Marty, he preached on in Guthrie. And I can't remember the title of the message, but in other words, you've got something to do. And you've got something to do. It's not all God. We can't just put it all on the Lord. But even basics is saying that right here. The Lord wants to do something, but it's up to us. Well, that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on the... Where's the chalk at?
Yeah, I guess right here.
I want to preach on learning. And I want to start in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, first verse. We'll read here a little bit. Again, we desire your prayers. Lord, have mercy and help us out here tonight. It said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, and time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. But I really want to zero in on the second verse, where it says there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. Now then, in between birth and death is sometimes a lot of time. But the situation is, what are you and I going to do with that time? Are we going to learn? Are we going to do what God would have us to do? You start learning basically at birth. And you take that and you can learn things every day, right along life's way. Some things are going to be more serious than others. But it's between you and God. And your desire and your will and your want to be able to learn and to do everything God would have you to do. And the more you learn, the more you can do for God. So tonight I want to encourage you, we need to do some learning. Why are you here in this meeting? Some people say, well, I'm here for this or I'm here for that. Some young people say, I want to come to play and want to play out there and play over there. I got news for you. I'm here for the meeting. I'm here to learn all I can learn out of this meeting. And I want you to be of that mindset too. And if you've got that mindset, you are going to be able to get something that maybe you've never got before. There is treasures here, there's goals here, there's powers here, there's authority here, and you and I can have it if we'll reach out and get it. God wants us to go after what He's got for us. If we, like Brother Marty said, if we've been kind of wishy-washy up and down, this way and that way, the Lord wants to settle us, and He wants us to learn to get settled and stay settled. He wants us to learn to be able to do exactly what He wants us to do. And so consequently, we're going to have to learn to do that. Let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter, first verse. Isaiah 2 and 1. Said the word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and come and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, like I said, you start learning almost right after you're born. And you're going to learn. Mama's going to teach you. Daddy's going to teach you. Grandparents are going to teach you. Preachers are going to teach you. People are going to teach you. There's a lot of things that we can learn all the way along. And what we get in that is going to begin to prepare us for what we're going to get later on from God. The depths that we can get from God is going to be what we learn. Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, how many of you like to go to school? How many of you like to learn in school? I've heard people say, I wasn't interested in school. And one of them sitting right here, I've heard him tell it more than one time. He really wasn't interested in learning. He just went to school because mama told him to go or daddy told him to go. Well, that's the mindset of a lot of people. But you can't do that spiritually and get by. You can't do that really naturally or learning for the world, so to speak. When I say learning for the world, learning for a job or whatever, you're going to have your mindset set that I'm going to learn and learn the most I can learn and get the best I can get out of this so I can do something that will be profitable for somebody else. So it says here that many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God, Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, you're in the right place to learn something. There's going to be a number of people in this pulpit that's going to teach you things if you're willing to learn. Or did you come to learn? Did you come to learn? What did you come here for, like I said? Did you come to learn the depths that you've never had? Did you come to learn things that will be beneficial for not only you, but maybe your companion, your children, or your parents, or your siblings, or whoever it might be? What did you come for tonight? I'm going to tell you, this meeting could profit you. I've been out in evangelistic work off and on for 40-something years, and I've seen that Green Bay over and over and over has as good, if not one of the best meetings in the whole country. And I've gone from coast to coast, north to south, been in revivals all over. I've been here when it was at a tent. I've been here when it was in an old tabernacle. I helped to pour the footing on the floor and all in that chapel right over there. I was in the old campground. Now I'm in this one. I've held revivals over there in the chapel. I've seen a lot of things done here at Green Bay. And they've been blessings. They've been some glory. They've been some power. They've been some salvation. They've been some deliverance. They've been things that's gone with people from this meeting all the way to the end. Praise God. And that's what you're here for. That's what I hope you're here for tonight, is to get the depths. It's going to come out right here. It's going to be preached right here. Now, there's going to be things that come out you may not like too well. They may be some things that cut you and stir you and shake you to the very core. But that's the things that you can learn from if you're willing to put your all in it and say, I want that. Praise God. The Lord's here to teach you something. The Lord is the greatest teacher there is. There is a lot of teachers out there. And you have probably had maybe different teachers. I had a lot of teachers. Kind of went to public school, went to college. And I've had a lot of different teachers. Some of them younger, some of them older. Some of them do it this way and some of them do it that way. But the bottom line is, those of us that set our minds to learn, those are the ones of us that learned something and got some good and appreciated. Listen tonight, there's some fantastic teachers out there. But the one I want to tell you tonight, and the things that he puts out, he's a teacher of teachers, praise God. He's not only a king of kings and a lord of lords, but he's a professor of professors and a teacher of teachers. And he's able to give you the things that you need to get if you're willing to get them. What are you here for? Are you willing to get what the Lord has for you tonight? and the rest of the media. I'm not just talking about this service only. But I'm talking about for the whole meeting. How long are you going to stay? What are you going to dig in? How much are you going to pray? Are you going to fast any? Are you going to do some extra study? Well, Brother Carl, don't pin us too tight. Listen, folks, sometimes it takes that for you and I to get what God wants us to have and for us to learn what He wants us to learn. Learning does not come easy sometimes. I've had some hard knocks in learning. I've put in some late hours in learning. I've had things that was easy. I've had things that was harder. So it wasn't always just the easiest thing to learn. But I tell you what, I appreciate my schooling. I appreciate my college. And I've used those things, and those things helped prepare me that I could read the Bible, that I could learn this and do that. And then when God saved me, He let me know that He could reveal anything to me that I didn't understand. Praise God. He can help me to learn and learn depths of things that nobody else could teach me. Listen, this book is a spiritual book. It was written by man, by the Holy Ghost, by the power of God. And this is right here. If you want the depths of it, you're going to have to get into it and let God teach it to you. Reveal it to you. Open it up to you. You're going to have to say, Lord, I want to know about what's in that book. I want to know, what do you want me to learn out of that book? I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get to digging into it and we get a hold of scriptures and we don't understand them and we get a little discouraged. I heard a minister, one of the greatest ministers I've ever met. He said there were some scriptures over in the New Testament. He said, I looked at them, I read them, I studied them over and over and over and over. He said, it took me years to get it. He said, finally, one day after quite a long time, I don't remember how long he said if he did, but he said it was quite a long time. He said, one day, the Lord revealed it to him. And he got a hold of it. Yes, it made sense to him then. I was on an install job one time. And I didn't feel good. I had a headache. And well, I'd say an install is really a rework is what it was. And I was there and I wasn't feeling good. And I finally told Brother Dan, I called him. I said, will you do me a favor? I said, will you let me give me a motel room and go spend the night? And I said, hopefully sleep this headache off and get up in the morning and go back. And he thought about it. He said, yeah. I said, if you don't feel good, that's the best way to do it. So that's what I'd done. And I went back the next morning. I laid everything out that looked confusing to me the night before. And I laid it out and I looked at it with a fresh mind. I looked at it with renewed interest. And it all fit together just like that. I got up and got it put together and went back home. I'm going to tell you, there's things sometimes that don't look just right. It can be a little bit, what about this and what about that? I'm going to tell you, the Lord can help you. But sometimes it takes a fresh mind to get it, praise God. And that comes early in the morning after you've had a good night's sleep. Learning. How much have you learned lately? All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 4 and 10. Let's look at some scriptures here. Deuteronomy 4 and 10. Like I said, I've never preached on this subject before. But Lord, help us to come here and to come wherever and be of a mind, I want to get what the Lord wants me to have. I want to learn. The thing about this, it's not just for a better job. It's not just for a lot more money. This is for eternity. This is going to go with you all the way to the other side. That is the reason it's very important to get a hold of what God has for you. And to be able to reach out and say, Lord, I want more of that. Lord, I want to touch you. If you want to touch God, do it by learning. Do it by digging. Do it by begging God, Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your way. Out of Zion, out of the teaching, out of the preaching of the Word of God in our meetings and in our regular congregations and revival meetings, there's things that come out of those. That's a real blessing to people. It's been great help to them down through the years. That's why you're here. This trumps everything other reason why you come here. All right, Deuteronomy 4 and 10. We'll read about three sets of scriptures, two in Deuteronomy, one in Proverbs. 4 and 10 says, especially The day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather me the people together, and I make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. All right, Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31 and 9. 31 and 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, thy stranger that is in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn. And fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Now then, Proverbs 9 and 10, I believe it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So he said here, in the first place I read in 4 and 10, he said, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together. And I make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that thou shalt live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now then, the first thing that's profitable is fearing God. Learning to fear God. Having a utmost respect and reverence for God. This is the reason He wants you to fear God, is because when you do that, then you're putting yourself in a position to learn from Him. He can teach me something. I want to learn from Him. Have you ever heard of a certain professor or a certain teacher in a school and, oh, they're just the best, they've taught all these students and so forth, and I've heard of some of them that's taught maybe several generations, been teaching 30 and 40 years, and maybe certain families, they've been some in that family, has gone and learned for several generations there of learning from that particular teacher. The word went out how great they were. The word went out how good they were. I got news for you. The word needs to go out. This is the greatest. And we need to fear Him, respect Him, admire Him, have an adoration for Him, lift Him up and say, Lord, You can teach me what nobody else can teach me, praise God. I want to learn what thus saith the Word of God. I don't want to just lightly skim it, but I want to get to the depths of it, praise God, whereby when I read it and study it with a fear and an admiration and get it down on my knees, and Lord, help me to get the depths of it, because You're the one who can give me something nobody else can, praise God. So we've got to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of the wisdom right here. Because we have such a respect and love and admiration for that man named Jesus. And He's the one that delivered you. He's the one that wants to deliver you. He's the one that wants to sanctify you and bless you and help you. He's the one that wants to do things that nobody else can do besides the power of God and His resurrection. Oh, today, how much do you fear God tonight? Do you fear Him enough? I'm going to tell you, fear, there was a certain minister, and I'm not going to name no names, but he had a son, and he told me more than one. He said one thing about him. He said he fears God, and he does. He's lived for God for a number of years. He's also kind of been up and down a little bit, but I think now he's kind of got settled in. I think he's settled in and going and doing that. But he said, my son fears God. You know, that's a good thing to say about your children. That's a good thing to say, because if they fear God, if this world feared God, it'd be a total different world. They would be willing to do what God would have them to do. They'd be willing to go where God would have them to go. They'd be willing to learn what God would have them to learn. Now, sometimes we don't want to learn some things. Why not? Is it because we don't fear Him enough? There's a scripture over here, and I hadn't even thought about this one. Let me find it here. It's in Matthew, 5:6, where it talks about fear Him which can cast both soul and body into hell. Somebody help me on that one. 6, isn't it? Or maybe it's 7. But fear Him. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to fear God. We need to fear Christ. We need to fear and sense the Holy Spirit. We need to have that respect and that reverence to Him that will help us when we're tempted to maybe do something, when we're tempted maybe to walk away from something we've learned. Well, I really don't want that. Or when we're getting to a place, that's a little bit too tough, Lord. Well, I fear You. I'm going to just humble and do, because I not only fear You, but I love You. And I'm going to give. I'm going to surrender myself to You. All right, let's go to 18 of Deuteronomy, 18 and 9. 18 and 9 of Deuteronomy. How much do you fear God tonight? Do you fear Him enough that you're willing to give something up, to change, to move? And when I mean move, I'm not talking about literally move, but move up in God. Sometimes people get, and I'm going to tell you something that happens, young people. I may get slapped when I say this, but I know it's true because I watched it through the years. A lot of times young people can have a pretty good relationship with God. And then there's a certain boy comes along and a certain girl comes along, and they come together and they begin to fall in love, or already falling in love. And they begin to do things and write, and anymore it's texting. Let me tell you something. People used to hate writing letters. Now then, they write them every day. They may not be very long, but they get on that phone and they text people clear across the country. Sometimes it's long text, sometimes it's short text, but they're writing many letters all the time. You ever think about that? I've got a whole box about this wide, about like that. It's about that deep. I don't know how many letters in it that Rebecca and I wrote, but I don't have one letter that I've written to that girl over there. But we texted a lot. We talked on the phone a lot. That's a new age, see? That's a new way. But these young people, they begin to fall in love. And I had a young man come to the altar sometime back. And I went down there and I listened to him and prayed with him. And I said, "You want me to tell you what your trouble is?" He looked at me. I said, "I can tell you what your trouble is." I said, "You fell in love. And you didn't hold the exact experience you'd had. You slipped some." I said, "Am I not right?" He said, "Yeah, you are." If you're not careful, that little darling and that handsome prince, when that begins to really gel and go, if we're not careful, we've got our mind on them so much that we let this slip a little bit. I never could do that. I mean, I loved Rebecca and I loved Molly, but I couldn't do what other people done. I had to keep my things going. But I know it happens. Lord, help us, young people, to keep your relationship with God. You don't want to backslide when you're going together. You don't want to backslide after you get married. You don't want to backslide down the road after you got children. You want to have a relationship and a fear and a learning of God that helps you to hold steady right through the whole process. All right, let's see. We're in Deuteronomy 18 and 9. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Thou shalt not be found, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth deviation, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkeneth unto observance of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And not suffered thee so to do. Let's go to Jeremiah right quick. Jeremiah 10 and 2. And run a parallel on this one. Jeremiah 10 and 2. 10 and 1. He said, Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. But it says here, learn not the way of the heathen. Now I'm going to give you some warning tonight. The Lord does not want us to go after the world. He does not want us to go after the things out there that are abomination to Him. Something He hates. Something He detests. Something that He will destroy in a period of time. And He wants you and I not to learn the way of those things. Even the slightest way of some of these things out there can begin to lead you off to the wrong direction. And you think, well, I can handle that. Can you? How smart is the devil? How smart and how wily is the devil? He's wily enough and smart enough, if you and I don't learn enough and get enough, that he can begin to move us around a little bit. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves slipping and sliding and not being where God would want us to be. So tonight, how much have you learned? He said, don't learn. He said here, thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations. Thou shalt not be found among them any one that maketh his son or daughter, and so forth. He said the abominations, those things that he detests, those things that he hates. Listen, folks, tonight, sin is an abomination to God. And if you and I dabble around with things that even are close to, and that can lead to something that is an abomination to God, you and I better be careful. We better run for our lives. We need to learn to go the other way, the right way and not the wrong way, to pull close to God. There is too many things out there. And I'm going to tell you tonight, young people, if you're not very careful, cell phones can get you into trouble. Ministers are finding that we're meeting people at the altar, and young men have gotten involved in stuff that would have been much harder to get involved in several years ago. But one minister made the statement, oh, where did you get this? Where did you learn this? And he pulled his phone out and said, here it is right here. You want me to show you? Oh, no. I told that minister, I said, I have no idea how to find that stuff on my cell phone. I don't even want to learn. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to consider it. Because those are the things that has got our world in the trouble that it's in. The abominable things that man is doing is something that God hates. It's a detest in His eyes. It's an abomination to Him. And consequently, He wants you and I to run the other way from it. And there's too many people that some of these modern things, I'm not against a computer. I just had to buy a new laptop. I'm not against the cell phone, but I am against the things that those things can cause to get you into trouble. Learn what God would have for you. Learn the things that will help you. Learn to fear God enough that if that stuff pops up, you're running the right way instead of the wrong way. Don't get involved with those things. All right, let's go to one of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now tonight, He says here that He wants you to come to Him. All you that labor, all you that are heavy laden, all you that need rest, that needs victory, that needs a blessing, come unto Me, all you that are there. And then He said, take My yoke upon you, get connected up with Me, and learn of Me. And learn of Me. Learn of Me, He said. How much are you learning from Him? You're probably learning some things on the job. I have done janitor work for years. I have done things over and over that I think I could do it blindfolded. But if you put me out with some carpenter work, I'm not as keen on that. I'm pretty keen, but I'm not as good at it as some right here in this building are. I have to learn things over and over. Now, I'm not saying I can't learn anything on the gender side, because I'm still learning. A lot of times I run into stuff that maybe I've never dealt with. You've got a doctor say, well, we practice medicine. In gender work, you do what you got to do to get it clean, if at all possible. You got to get to the depths of it. And you learn. And you learn more. And you learn more after that. But He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Of Me. He wants to teach you. He wants to teach you the depths that you've never gotten to yet. You can do things for years and still learn. If I can learn something in janitor work, I'll do it, especially carpenter work. You know, if I can better myself, I want to do it. Now, what is your most keen interest? Well, Brother Carl, I got to make a living. Yeah, you do. And you've got to learn to probably do that. But the bottom line is tonight, here is the best learning that we can do. Learn of Me. You can do your job. You can be very good at it. Your peers can have high respect for you. And everything can go real well. You can have a good job, make good money. You can have a fine wife, a nice home, fine children, nice cars, money in the bank, going to church. But the bottom line is, Jesus said, I want you to learn of Me too. Not just on the job. Wives, not just in the home. After Rebecca died, I learned things in the kitchen that I didn't even know before. Now I got somebody better, way better cook than I am. I'm not a cook, really. But I learned things, see, because I've done it this, and I tried that, and I tested this, I've done that, and I learned some things in the 5.5 years while she was gone. But the bottom line is, I learned things from God, too. You never quit learning here. You can maybe quit to an extent on some things and some things, but the bottom line is, this is a type of learning that's eternal, that goes inwardly, and it's there, and you can learn things. You can read this Bible over and over and over. You can read certain scriptures thousands of times, and you can still learn from it, because God can enlighten it to you, things that you've never learned before. That's the reason you never quit learning. You never quit reading. You never quit reaching out. You want the depths that God wants you to have. Say, Lord, I want you to teach it to me, praise God, because I need you, and I need you desperately if I'm going to make heaven my home. How much have you learned out of this? In the last month, no, let's go a little closer. Last week, how much have you learned out of the Word of God? Have you memorized any new scriptures? Have you learned more about where things are at in the Bible? Sometimes when a minister is called to preach the gospel, it's happened, I've heard it over and over and over, they spend hours and hours and hours studying the doctrines and begging God, fasting and praying, getting down, prostrate before God. Lord, I want you to help me know this, understand this. I need this. I need to have it in my mind bank. Listen, folks, the preachers are not the only ones that need it in their mind bank and their heart bank. You need it too, praise God. You fight the devil too. It's not just us that's in the pulpit, but everybody in here is going to deal with the devil. And the thing to do is have it written on the fleshly tape of your heart, whereby you can have something that you can run the devil off with, praise God. What did the Lord do when the devil come along And he said here, make these, turn these stones into bread. And what did the Lord use? Did he go fix something out of a job somewhere? No, he said, how did he put it? Come on, tell me. What did he say now? What did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Come on. Speak up. Hear me. I ain't got hearing neither. He's not the only one got a hearing problem. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Something that'll be able to chew on and work with. Something you can get blessing from in the depths of that you can't get nowhere else. Listen, you can read Reader's Digest. You can read magazines. You can look at Southern Living. But I guarantee you they won't do what this will do for you, praise God. And I'm not saying you can't read those. But what I'm telling you, the depths of the eternal things of salvation and heaven that'll bless you all the way down till you die. This is what's going to go in. It said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This is the only thing that you're going to stand on when you're dying and going out into eternity, folks. It's this right here. And we better learn of God. Praise God. Woo! We better learn of the Lord. If you don't get this down, we get down at the end, we may find ourselves doing some repenting. We may find ourselves begging God. I have been at the bedside. I have been there praying with them when people have not done well, and I'm not talking massive sins, but I'm talking about when God had dealt with them and called them and worked with them and said, I want you to do this, and they wouldn't do it, and they were repenting over that. Some people said, well, I can do this and I can do that. You can't do it if God don't want you to. You'll have to deal with it someday. You will deal with it someday. Because I've been there with them and I've done that. I've seen them. Brother Carl, the Lord called me. I've dealt with them at the altar. I've dealt with them on their deathbed when they were there. Had no idea God had been working with them and calling them and showing them to do certain things. He was trying to get them to learn of Him. He was trying to use them to be a blessing to people. And they kept rejecting that. And then they got down to the end and they met it. I'm going to tell you, better be careful what you reject. Because this right here is eternal. And we're all eternal, so to speak. We're all going to step out in eternity. And if you can be a blessing to somebody, young people, I tell you, you better do it. Middle-aged people, you better do it. Young married couples, you better do it. We can run, but you cannot hide. The eyes of God's over all the world, praise God. And He knows everything about you. So tonight, what are you learning from Him? What have you learned in the last week from God? He wants you to learn something. But how much do you want to learn? One time, Donna was quite young. As a matter of fact, she wasn't even in kindergarten yet. She was pre-kindergarten. I believe this was the time. It might have been kindergarten. But anyway, Rebecca was trying to teach her something. And she just couldn't get it. And she kept on and she kept on and she kept on. And she said, Carl, one day, and I don't know how long a time period, I mean, that's been so many years ago, I don't remember. But she said, one day she got it. And she said, you know how I know she got it? Because when she did, her whole face lit up. I got it! She didn't say that, but that's what Rebecca saw in it. She saw that her daughter had learned what she had been trying to teach you. Listen, bless God, folks. Bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all within me, bless His holy name. I'm going to tell you, bless the Lord by learning something. I'm going to tell you there's a scripture over in John. He said here, 1 John. He said, that's not the one, 3 John. That's the one I want. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It said here, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, praise God. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Now I'm going to tell you, if you want to bless the ministry, walk in truth. If you want to bless the ministry, do what you need to do. But I'm going to tell you, if you bless us, you sure bless God, bless the Lord. He smiles. He is happy. He's blessed because you and I are learning of the things that God wants us to learn. I've heard people say, well, I didn't want to go to that sister's meeting because all they're going to talk about is dress. Are they going to talk about this? Are they going to talk about that? Lord, help us. Do we want to learn? Do we want to learn more of the depths of God? God wants you to learn. He wants to teach you. He wants children that dig into it, and then when they get it, so to speak, their face brightens up and they go, I got it. There's no greater blessing to a teacher to watch your children do that. There's no greater blessing to God for us to do that. Oh, tonight, what are you learning? What did you come here for? I know I've harped on that, but the bottom line is, why are you here? These meetings are held for the glory of God and the good of your soul. And so consequently, I didn't travel nearly 1,200 miles out here to hear my head rattle and to just run around and play games all the time. I come out here to do what God would have me to do. To stay as long. Cynthia said, well, this and that. I said, child, I don't know totally what I'm going to do. I'm just here for God, so to speak. And I hope you're here from God, for you're here for God. And I hope you're willing to do what God wants you to do while you're here. Learn of me. Learn of me. What are you learning of God? What can you say in the last year you've learned of God? Have you gotten more depth than you had in 2018? We're now in 5.5 months of 2019. What have you learned this year? What can you tell your teacher, your Sunday school teacher, or your pastor, or the evangelist? Well, I've learned this and this and this and this. What can you tell us you've learned? I might be getting in trouble now, Brother Marty. I don't know. What can you tell us? What have you learned in the last week, 2 weeks, month, 4 months, 5 months, year, 2 years, 5 years? Do you know where one of the greatest messages or teachings was ever taught? It's right over here in Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Listen, folks, the power in these scriptures right in through here is some of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, scriptures in the whole Bible. I would dare say that there's not anybody ever got the depths out of them. Even though God showed them. They've learned a lot. I'm not saying they don't. Sister Angela, I believe, had a whole deal in the Sunday school lessons about them. And it was good. What I was in, anyway, was good. But the bottom line is, this is something that God was teaching. This is something that He was opening up. Have you got into those scriptures in 5 and 1, let's say just through 12, have you gotten into them and said, Lord, I want you to teach me. I want to memorize these scriptures. I want to understand them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Somebody said, well, that fourth verse is talking about those that are grieving. That's only just a part of it. The depths of it is those in sin that come to the place where they're mourning after God, and they're coming to the place where they're willing to repent, give up, surrender, and turn loose. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is things in these scriptures right in here in Matthew 5. Brother Salmon said one time in the 5, 6, and 7 or somewhere right in there, he said, if you don't learn anything else but that right there, that'll help you to get to heaven. There's a lot in the Beatitudes. How much do you know about it? How much are you desiring to know about it? I'm going to tell you tonight, learn of me. I want to teach you children something new. I want to be a blessing to you, praise God. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy, 5th chapter. Deuteronomy, 5th chapter. All right, Deuteronomy 5 and 1. Let's read Deuteronomy 5 and 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears today, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here today, this day. The Lord talketh with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to shew you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of fire and went not up into the mount saying. Now, he said here, I speak in your ears today that you may learn them and keep and do them, the statutes. Over here in Hebrews, and some of this is coming to me, not I had not even written down. All right, let's see. 12th chapter of Hebrews, and about the, is connected back into this. And the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of the words, 12 and 19 of Hebrews, and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. But he said, you are come unto Zion, Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just being made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now then, what they went through then and what we have now is totally different, so to speak. But he said here, Hear, O Israel. I'm back to 5 of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears today, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Not only learn them, that's part of it, but then to keep them and to do them. On jobs, you're expected to do certain things. You can't go to, especially a big company. I've never worked for a big company. When I saw, I'm talking about big, like Brother Dan and some of them. They work for what I call a lot bigger company. I've always been on the small side. But the bottom line is, they expect you, as they teach you and as they train you, they expect you to do certain things. You've got to learn it, you've got to keep it, and you've got to do it. Well, it's the same thing with God. He wants us to learn it, He wants us to keep it, and He wants us to do it. Are we doing that? Is that what the Lord could say that we're doing tonight? Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 73. He said, Thy hands have made me and fashion me, and give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And then the 34th verse here said, give me understanding and I will keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Lord, help us to have our whole heart in this. If we are going to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have our whole heart into it. You'll never make it otherwise. You're going to have it all in there. One day out of the week, 2 days out of the week, no, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Your whole heart. I shall observe it with my whole heart. I shall keep thy law. And he said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. We're not just anybody, folks. We're made by God. We're created. I said, well, I'm not created. Yeah, you are too. You was created by God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has put you into where you're at right now. Your parents maybe has known the truth for years. You've been born. They're raising you up. They're putting you in the most excellent position that anybody could be put in. But are we taking advantage of it? There was a man by the name of John D. Rockefeller Sr. John D. Rockefeller Sr., if I remember right, had one son. I believe he was John Jr. And then John Jr., if I remember right, had five sons. One of those was David. Well, the Rockefellers owned Chase Manhattan Bank. And David, when he went to come into working with Chase Manhattan Bank, he didn't just stroll in and say, I'm David Rockefeller, and start throwing his weight around. That's what I admire about him. I don't know the man, but I've read about him. And he come in, and you know what he done? He took the lowest position he could take, and he started learning that. He learned that. He moved to the next position. He would learn and move. And he come up the ladder till he got all the way to the top. And when he got to the top, everybody from that point to the bottom admired him because he learned it from the ground up. He knew all about the banking business, and then he was in position to begin to step into place and run one of the most powerful banks, I guess, in the whole country and do what needed to be done. But he started at the lowest spot. He said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. Lord, help us to get down, right down where he wants us, and to stay there and to learn that, and then as we move up, we'll learn the next thing and the next thing, and we will be able to keep the law of God. We will be able to appreciate the law of God. We'll be wanting to learn more of the law of God and learn it one step at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The Lord can teach you, but are we willing to learn? He wanted to learn, see? And then when he got all the way up there, they admired him from the bottom to the top and from the top right on down. They said they admired him. He didn't stroll in there. I am Rockefeller. I'm going here to take over and run this place. He didn't have no idea what banking was about. I mean, he probably had checks. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Them guys that big, I don't know how they do things. I don't know just how they do it. But the bottom line is, he went in there with a mindset to learn. And he learned, and he learned, and he learned. And the more he learned, the more power he got. The more he learned, the greater he was. And he moved right up. Listen, the Lord wants to take us from the lowest spot when we get down there and get saved. And he wants to take us and just bring us slowly and gently higher and higher and higher. And then one day we'll just step off the scene, go to heaven. We've learned all we can learn then that he's got for us to learn. You have got an excellent position, children and young people. Don't scoff at this. Don't laugh at this. I told somebody recently, many years ago, I was in a meeting in a certain place, back in the late 70s, or maybe it might have been the early 80s when I went full time, and there was people in the back, young people now, that during the altar call, they were laughing. I kid you not, they were laughing. That grieved me so deeply. They were laughing while the altar call was going forth. Don't laugh. This is God coming down. This is God talking to us. Listen, folks, we have got the ears and the heart and the mind of God to teach us right here in these meetings. And the Lord has come down. He is coming down to help you and I, to work with us, to talk to us and be with us. Listen, we've got the highest blessed place that we could ever be in these with the presence of God. The last Saturday night of Guthrie. I have not been in an out-of-order service, as I call it, and I don't know when. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord come down and used a fella, and the Lord poured it on, and he got fired up, and he was pouring it out. And then somebody said, made a statement, somebody else made a statement. We all rose and called for an altar call song, and so our one, somebody called an altar call song, and it just started flowing together. That's the presence of God. And that is the greatest privilege you and I could ever have, is have that presence with you and I. I'm going to tell you something. You know what makes hell so bad? If you go to hell, what's the worst thing hell is? It's the absence of the presence of God. It'll never be there. You've got a chance right here in this meeting. You've got a chance right here tonight. You've got a chance to listen to the Spirit of God, to have Him talk to you. I want to teach you this scripture and that scripture. I want you to move up, child. I want you to do this and that. We've got the privilege, the opportunity to have something that we can't have any other way, praise God. But if you go to hell, folks, He's not going to talk to you down there. You're going to be cast into a lake of fire, and you're going to suffer the rest of eternity. Could it be because you rejected His learnings? Yes. If we reject His Word and we reject Him, we are binding ourselves for a devil's hell. Oh, tonight, Lord help us. How much of the statutes of the Word of God have you learned? How much are you interested in the Word tonight? Are you really wanting it, desiring it? The Lord wants to give it to you tonight. He wants to give it to you tonight. All right, let's stay right in Psalms 119. And let's go to 71. 119 and 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Uh-oh. Let's go to 94 and 12 of Psalms. 94 and 12 of Psalms. He says, blessed is a man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. The Lord wants to teach us something. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Some of the greatest things you can learn from the Word and by the Spirit is through affliction. I don't like to hear that. Well, I'm going to tell you. Done been there and done that, and part of it was right here in Green Bank, West Virginia in 1987. Then I got deathly sick, and people across country, this is what I was hearing anyway, they said, why is a young minister sick unto death, so to speak? Why is the Lord putting Carl Schaefer through that? Well, I got news for you. I didn't understand it myself. But some of you remember that time. They come over, old Brother White, come over nearly every day and spent time with me. And nearly, I believe, everyone in the congregation had come and seen me once, twice, three times, whatever. They were here to encourage me. They were here to encourage and to bless me and to help me. But I'm going to tell you, I learned, and I learned. I got blessing right here. God got so close to me one night, I was shouting and praising. I was crying and shouting at the same time. Rebecca didn't know what happened to me. I said, the Lord just come by. He was so close, I thought I would explode. There was another time that we had a tape on that had the saints singing. And I believe it's the one that's talking about being strong in the Lord. I'm going to tell you again, He touched me. And the glory of God was so real. I'm going to tell you, in the depths of affliction is the glory of God. Amen. The depths of it. The things that you and I learn. Now, brother, brother Ed's dad, Clifford. Brother Clifford Wilson had just gotten married not too long before that, or maybe that summer of 1987. I don't remember just when. But anyway, him and his second wife come out here. And him and the old general was working with me. And he told me one time, he said, Brother Carl, you're not going to understand it all now. But he said, these things that you're learning, over and over in this battle of affliction, He said you're going to be able to take that. And He said you're going to be able to use that over and over and over. It's going to be like a deal in a camera or whatever. It's going to be a box that's going to come in. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, oh yes, I remember that time. Let me tell you something, saints. I've used it from then till now. I've been able to get in the bucket of those people that's a suffering and afflicted, so to speak, and they're there and they say, I'm hurting here and this and that. I said, I understand. It means something when somebody can tell you, I understand. I can get in the burden with you. I can pray for you. I can help you. I will stay with you till you live or die. But I understand what you're going through. That sent me to be a pastor. But even in evangelistic work, I still use that affliction in 1987. And then this one and that one. I'm going to tell you, there are depths in the Word of God. There is depths in the things of God that you and I learn from being afflicted. I don't want to be afflicted, though. I don't want to hurt. Well, I got news for you. You get enough age on you, you're going to find out you're going to hurt a little bit. He's younger than I am. One minister told me the other day, he said, yeah, I said, they say that the older age is the golden years. He said, I told one of my sons the other day, son, you better enjoy it now because when you get here, it ain't so golden. Enjoy it, young people. When God is using things to deepen you down, to stir you up, to get you into places that you could never be gotten any other way because of affliction and the things. You say, well, I can go off to the doctor and get this. I'm going to tell you, you can't get from a doctor what you can get from God. Amen. I've never seen a doctor touch somebody and them jump out of bed and run and be healed. I've never seen people instantly healed by doctors like I have God. They can do things, and I'm not saying they can't. They can help people out. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest physician, the greatest physician of physicians, specialist of specialists, the greatest healer that's ever lived, his name is Jesus, and He can do something no doctor can do, praise God. He can heal you heart, soul, mind, and body, and He can do it instantly. But you might have to suffer a little bit. He wants to get you into some places and help you. He wants to, it's been good for me that I've been afflicted. Can we say that tonight? I can say that. How about you? Can you say that it's been good for me to be afflicted? That you have learned things that you couldn't learn any other way? It is true tonight. You can't learn them any other way but to go through the path that God would have you to go through. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Titus 3 and 14. We'll be through in just a minute. Titus 3 and 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me, salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith, grace be unto you, amen. I said, and let ours also learn to maintain good works, for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Now then, the Lord, He wants us, brethren, to do a good job on the job. He wants people to trust you to where they be willing to give you whatever they have and knowing you would take care of it for them. I have a man that I do some work for. And he's given me money. I've gone and bought things for him. One time I come back and I said, well, here's the rest of your money back. She said, just keep it, girl, and buy light bulbs and this and that. So I kept a detailed list right down to the penny. When I got it all, I had all the receipts and everything. John knows he can trust me. People want to be able to trust you. They want to be able to know that you're doing a good job for them. Now then, the Lord wants us to maintain good works too. For necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Lord, help us to be fruitful and not unfruitful. Help us to be able to produce something that will be a challenge, a stir, a blessing to people that's around us. That they may see this is the way, walk ye in it. That they may see that there's a blessing to be had right here. That they may see that God is in this body of people. Learn to maintain good works. Are you maintaining your life? Are you maintaining your experience? Are you maintaining the things that the Lord has taught you? You learn something. And let's say it's something basic. And you get it down pat. Well, unless you get old enough that your mind begins to slip a little bit, you'll know that till you die. But there's some things that have enough angles of it that you've got to start to a point and learn that and get that down pat. And then you've got more things that you can learn to go along with that. And you build upon build, just like David Rockefeller did. He built upon things as he learned them and learned them and learned more. And it became a great blessing to not only him, but those around him. But he maintained what he learned down here. You want to learn at the lowest position. And then as God gives you more and more, and you maintain and keep that all the way as you get older and older. You don't just drop those things. Well, that's just the basic stuff. That, listen, salvation is basic. And if we get up to the point we just kick that out the door, we're going to get in trouble. We need to keep that. Everything, line upon line, precept upon precept. And then you maintain that. Keep all of that to the very end. All right, let's finish up. Isaiah 2 and 4, and I'll be done. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But it said, nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. One of the greatest things of the Church of God down through the years has been unity of the believers. And he's not interested in that being tampered with, damaged, hurt. But sometimes there have been some people that have got upset, hurt, offended, and they've decided to declare war. And they have gone after people, and they have done damage to many people around them. Or maybe a few people, however you want to say it. Could be a few, could be many. I've seen this work. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just shooting off the hip here. And they got involved in something, and you may say, well, I'm just going to do a little bit here. But that little bit, when the devil gets a hold of it, it can escalate and escalate and escalate. And what you started out as something real small can grow real big, and before long you're in trouble, and they are too. So don't learn war anymore. The Lord wants you and I to be at peace. Live peacefully with all men as much as life within you. Lord, help us to be at peace with everybody. Help us to love, to respect, to admire, and to do what God would have us to do. Learn. How much have you learned? How much are you interested in learning? How many meetings are you going to be in this summer? The Lord wants you to learn something every day. Not just once a month or once a year, but He wants you and I to learn every day things from Him. Learn of me. How much are we learning? I appreciate your time, your attention. Pray for me. I want to learn from God.